At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three. Welcome to it on this Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports. What?
Like, I'm trying to, let me see if I can do this correctly, because Twitter's having some issues here. Okay, looks, can okay. I? Okay, I can. I can bring it up here. All right, good. So we're back. We're back in business.
Why do you think that it's okay for you to say, immediately as I'm welcoming people to our third and final hour, just because you're
Twitter
isn't
loading? Yeah, wouldn't be able to bring up the question. Yeah, wouldn't be able to bring up the question. Like, DMs aren't working. I don't know if the search bar wasn't up, so I had to change a couple things around. Yeah, so we're back. We're back.
Okay. Yeah, there does look to be a couple of things being reconfigured as we speak on X.com, Twitter.com, whatever you do like to call it. Of course, we have to go there because we will hear from the people in just a matter of moments. But it's our third and final hour here on this Friday. Our final hour entering the weekend, a long holiday weekend. Again, a reminder, we are off on Monday. We'll be back live at 8 a.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. We hope everybody has a lovely Memorial Day weekend. There is a lot of Major League Baseball to preview, a full Friday slate, and a couple of marquee matchups throughout these weekend sets. And then the coach, J.Y. James Young, will join us a little bit later on for his thoughts on game number two of the Western Conference Finals and where that series stands between the Thunder and the Timberwolves. And, of course, how he feels after game number one inside the Garden ahead of game number two tonight in the Eastern Conference Finals DRS between the Pacers and the Knicks.
Yeah, we want to shout out the veterans this weekend, Ben, as you said previously there. You know what, man? Have a beer, tip one back, you know, raise that flag up. And also all the hardworking HVAC techs out there who support this country and keep everybody climate controlled across of all networks and also homes here. There you go. Everybody, the working man, the veterans, I got them all covered this weekend, Ben. All of them covered.
I think Memorial Day is for all of that, not to be confused with Labor Day, I'm pretty sure, when the HVAC guys really get their love each and every time. We hope it doesn't take until early September for all those HVAC guys to get their due. We hope it's as quickly as possible. Maybe you'll see why on Tuesday. All right, DRS, shall we hear from the people? It is time now for Fade the Public. We kind of had this conversation yesterday with the one, the only Mark Zeno, who gave his take as only he can. But the Buffalo Bills, as we learned earlier this week, on the same day we learned the push would survive and the playoff format would not be altered, the Buffalo Bills would be the subject of HBO's Hard Knocks training camp edition coming our way in early August. And it always felt like, DRS, that when Hard Knocks was coming our way in early August, in the late 2000s, in the late aughts, and then in the 2010s, that it felt like a sign that football was near and we craved it. We waited for it after a very long offseason and a grueling, grueling summer. But now, with all the multimedia that every NFL team possesses, you kind of get those behind-the-scenes look, so it does not feel as though HBO's Hard Knocks is all that special or unique anymore. So are you, Donnie, are you, the people out there, excited for the Bills to be the subject of Hard Knocks? It was the question at SportsGrid on Twitter. Do you plan on watching the next season of Hard Knocks featuring the Buffalo Bills? 60% of the public saying no, 40% about saying yes. Which way, Donnie, did you vote?
They didn't read the question. They didn't read the question. Oh. I know where the way they voted, they didn't actually read the question, which sometimes is tough to do. This one isn't a very hard question, though. Do you plan on watching next season of Hard Knocks featuring the Buffalo Bills? There's not a single football fan that answered this that doesn't plan on watching it because we love football. Hard Knocks is a rite of passage. Whether you will actually watch it is one thing. But me, hey, I'm going to probably catch an episode or two. But you know what? I plan on watching it the same way I do every single year. I'll forget it's on a Tuesday at 9 o'clock. I won't catch up. I already know what happened here. So maybe I don't watch all of the episodes. But you can't tell me. 60% of the people that voted don't plan on watching Hard Knocks. Of course they do. You love the opening, the Hard Knocks, the music. It's Liv Schreiber. It's almost like a rite of passage. Even if you don't watch it, you are planning on probably watching it here. So I don't believe it. 60%, no, I don't believe you out there. Like me, I don't like Hard Knocks all that much, but every year I plan on watching it because it's football. Not to say I'm going to watch every episode, but if I see it, if it's on, I'm watching it, and you football fans will be as well. Sure. Must-see TV like it was in the past? No, it's not. But you absolutely plan on watching it. Yeah. Stop it.
Completely agree, DRS. Very well stated, very well said. You all are liars. Maybe this question right now, you don't really feel that optimistic for. Maybe if we actually polled, did you watch Hard Knocks last night after its premiere on that opening Tuesday, whatever it is, in August, 60% say no, I would understand that. But planning on watching it, especially by the time we get to training camp in late July, that's 75% yes, 25% no. You still love Hard Knocks, even if you don't know that you still love it. And you are still planning on watching it. Now, do I watch episodes 2 through 4 with the same fervor and enthusiasm I used to, as DRS stated? No. Will I watch the season premiere? Absolutely. Is it still a fun thing to consume? I would say yes. Especially that first one. So, yes, I plan on watching Hard Knocks. If you take some hardline stance that you're not going to watch Hard Knocks for whatever reason you might have, you're just admitting you don't like football, you don't like the characters of football, you don't like the preparation of football. In NFL films, although I have said, Donnie, that all 32 NFL organizations do a stellar job with their own video and media departments, NFL Films, who is the production company behind HBO's Hard Knocks, still better than anybody else. So, yes, I plan on watching Hard Knocks featuring the Buffalo Bills in August.
And also, they're not giving, like, hey, Hard Knocks with the Titans. Like, that's going to stink. Or Hard Knocks with the Browns. Like, who cares about that? Like, they're giving you a really good football team, one of the best teams in the NFL, with one of the best quarterbacks and a storyline. Can they finally get over the hump and make a Super Bowl? So you have all the backdrop. They're not just throwing you a bone with a bad football team that you're just trying to say, hey, it's football, they'll watch it anyway. They gave you a really good football team to watch with some good storylines. That should be interesting enough. But again, I'm not going to watch every single episode, but I plan absolutely on catching some of Hard Knocks next year.
Yeah, absolutely so. And DRS, the subject of Hard Knocks, the Buffalo Bills, who it's really intriguing when you look at Buffalo's outlook for 2025. It's not the reigning Super Bowl champs in the Eagles. It's not the Baltimore Ravens, who are the favorites to win the AFC. Heck, it's not the three-time reigning AFC champion Kansas City Chiefs, who won 15 games a year ago that has the highest win total technically in the NFL. It's Buffalo. 11.5 is the win total. A few other teams also have the same exact number, but the over has the hefty juice for the Bills. Nobody else has juice on the over for their win total of 11.5. It's -140 to the over for the Bills this year. DRS, to go over 11.5, it is the best win total in the National Football League. The Bills have the best price to see the postseason in the National Football League here in the offseason. And that -230 price on the Bills to win a sixth consecutive AFC East divisional crown, the best price for any team to win any of the eight divisions around the National Football League entering 2025.
Yeah, look, Josh Allen, lots going to be on his shoulders this year. Got a solid offensive line. You pick up Bosa there in the offseason to sort of fortify that pass rush to go with Oliver and Rousseau. I'm excited to see what the Buffalo Bills have. And also, their schedule is very advantageous. We talk about so many of these teams. Man, how are they going to get through and win 10 or 11 games? You can't make it to a Super Bowl unless you have a very good season, which includes securing a top one or two seed here in your respective conference. And I think the Bills can do that with the schedule. The Bills are always one of the teams I root. They're fun to watch. They're fun to play. They're fun to bet on. Let's just see if they can put it all together this year, and that starts with Hard Knocks.
And Donnie, those first three numbers I don't think really matter anymore in Western New York. It's the final two to actually win the AFC championship.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
A ton of action throughout this Memorial Day weekend in Major League Baseball, and plenty of marquee matchups dot the weekend slate, including this Fool Friday around the bigs. We are hoping, certainly here on the East Coast, in the Midwest, DRS, that throughout this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial kickoff to summer this holiday weekend, we get warmer and warmer temperatures through and through. Friday into Saturday, Saturday into Sunday, Sunday into that holiday Monday as well. That is our hope. I don't think we're in any danger of bad weather or at least cold weather in Atlanta this weekend. And of course, tonight is a big, big game for the Braves. They take on a reeling San Diego team that is riding a six-game losing skid. But one of the main reasons, DRS, this game specifically on a Friday night in the A is so important is because Ronald Acuña Jr. is set to make his season debut on May 26th. Last year, tore his ACL, missed the remainder of the season for the reigning 2023 NL MVP. He is back tonight for his first game of 2025. Chris Sale on the bump for Atlanta, minus 178. Pitching Pivetta on the other side for San Diego as the Padres try to snap this six-game slide. And Donnie, what can we expect out of Ronald Acuña Jr. in his return?
I don't know. Hopefully good things here because that's what they're expecting. But the issue yesterday in their loss wasn't on offense. It was their pitching performance, which should be corrected tonight. And also lost a wager yesterday. Olsen had a big night, which was great for me, but I needed Baldwin to get a base hit or at least a hit, run, and or an RBI. Wasn't able to do that last night. Even in the game where they scored north of five runs, those are always tough pills to swallow. But we, as you said, we are looking at better weather conditions. Why? In Atlanta, it's a southern city. Here's 75 degrees, opening pitch with a 7-mile-an-hour wind blowing out to left field. That should help. Also, we talk about Nick Pivetta coming into the season. Decent pitcher, had a very good start to the season, but started to leak a little bit of oil. If we take a look at his performances over the past 20 innings pitched, he's got an ERA north of 5, but he does have an xFIP still manageable at 3.84 because he's a pretty good strikeout pitcher. His last 87 batters in the past month that he's faced, he's actually struck out 30% of those. But coming into this game, not a lot of high K rate guys in the lineup tonight for the Atlanta Braves against right-handed pitching. That should help. And also, from Pivetta's start to the season, let's just say a 127 ISO and a 259 weighted on base percentage, if we combine his entire season into 199 batters, that's great, Ben. But let's focus on the last 30 days for Pivetta. His last 87 batters he's faced, that 127 ISO goes up to a 218. That's above average. That weighted on base percentage, which was stellar at 259, that now sits at a 343. And also lefty and righties getting the best of him here. But the problem is that Atlanta Braves lineup hasn't showed out all that well to right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. Riley, Olson, Ozuna, pretty good numbers. The rest of the guys, not a lot of power here. But let's flip it over to San Diego, which we told you on the program yesterday. If you did not hit it yesterday, you weren't going to hit at all. And quite frankly, they had two runs on the board by the end of the second inning. They didn't score another two runs until the ninth inning to force extras and then still lost that game.
Yeah.
They don't hit left-handed pitching all that well, and Chris Sale is going to be on the mound today. Sale's been great against right-handed batters, but leaky a little bit against lefties. We look in the lineup tonight, Cronenworth and Arise, both guys struggling against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days. I don't see a lot of hope here again for the Padres. Great ballpark to hit, great temperatures, wind blowing out. I got to tell you, still plays to an under for me.
Yeah, DRS, I think it's really important what you said there. You see the 6 runs scored by San Diego, albeit in the extra innings loss yesterday in Toronto. You're like, all right, at least the bats woke up a little bit. They only had 2 until the top of the ninth, and Gavin Sheets hit a 2-run bomb to tie the game in regulation. Of course, they added on a few in both the 10th and the 11th innings because the Padres, in their previous 5 losses consecutively, had scored a total of 3 runs. Again, I really do think this dates back to last weekend for the Padres in the devastating series sweep at home against the Mariners in the first ever Vetter Cup. We could look at it as a linchpin of this season and how it has changed the tide for San Diego. I guess we'll see if they bounce back this weekend in Atlanta. Huge matchup up in Flushing in Queens this weekend between the New York Mets and the LA Dodgers. Two of the best teams so far in the National League, and of course a rematch between the two best teams last year in the National League, that NLCS rematch. The Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw, an ever so slight favorite tonight in Citi Field. Griffin Canning gets the start on the other side for the Amazons. A total of 8.5. The weather this week, DRS in New York City, awful. A little bit better on this Friday and through the rest of the weekend. What will it mean for this series?
Yeah, hopefully no rain there, and that's what we're looking for tonight, around 60 degrees at first pitch, which again, you say, that's not bad temperatures. It is bad for late May at this point. We should be at least 65-plus degrees at a minimum right now. Here's the issue that we're going to look at. Like, the Dodgers are always going to be a favorite. I don't think they actually should be favored tonight. Clayton Kershaw returning back to 2025. He got lit up and only faced 20 batters and was pulled quickly. You're also looking at a lineup against left-handed pitching over the past month in the Mets that doesn't strike out a lot, because sometimes you look at the power numbers, which again, Marte, Soto, Alonso, Vientos, and Nimmo have those power numbers and weighted on base percentage. But against a pitcher that's not really a strikeout pitcher anymore, the ball's in play, that usually good things happen for the offense. That's an advantage. You take a look at the Los Angeles Dodgers at the plate. They wreck lefty and right-handed pitching, it seems like, but more so right-handed pitching. The estimated starting lineup tonight, which includes Michael Conforto, who's bad against right-handed pitching over the past month. Everybody else, Ben, high ISOs, high weighted on base percentages, and low K rates. Like, wow, are we set for an over tonight? Not so fast, because Griffin Canning, not really a household name, he's been really good to start the season here, and particularly over the past 30 days, 21 and a third innings pitched. How about an ERA of 1.69 and a matching xFIP around 3.20? The question is, that type of pitching, which has been a little bit leaky against lefties, and you know the lefties in the lineup, Ohtani, Freeman, Muncy, Conforto, I just told you, is having a bad season, but also Edmund, who's a switch hitter who will be batting lefty here. It's hard to bet against the Dodgers, knowing what that lineup can do, but I got to tell you, it's hard to say. Like, Griffin Canning is a better pitcher than Clayton Kershaw. Not something that you would have said over the past 15 years in Major League Baseball, but this year, it is a fact here. I'm actually going to go with that slight dog price here on the New York Mets. They should be able to hit Kershaw. They should be able to win this game.
Kersh made his season debut, of course, last Saturday at home against the LA Angels. Only went 4 innings, about 83 pitches, gave up 5 earned runs. It was a game for the Angels that they won. The Angels, by the way, have won 7 straight, including sweeping the Dodgers last weekend in the rivalry set. The first time the Angels have swept the Dodgers in a decade and a half. The Mets and the Dodgers, 2 of the 4 teams around the National League that have won at least 30 games. The team we'll talk about next, the Chicago Cubs, also in that category. And a big one tonight in Cincy. We'll break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
We continue breaking down the baseball slate in MLB on this Full Slate Friday here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Tonight, at the Great American Ballpark, an NL Central duel between the Reds and the Cubs. Really good news on the injury front in a couple of spots today, DRS, including in Cincinnati. Hunter Green off the IL now for the Reds, the ace of the staff, who is having a tremendous start to this year before a groin injury placed him on the IL. His first start since early May. A 4-2 record, a 2.36 ERA, and an NL Cy Young contender at full health. Hunter Green back to face the Chicago Cubs, one of those four teams around the National League with at least 30 wins. Of course, the best record so far within this division. How do you break down the matchup today between the Cubbies and the Reds?
Yeah, hopefully if we can see the same sort of pitcher Hunter Green was before the injury, that would be fantastic. 65-degree temperatures here at Great American Ballpark. Wind blowing out really to left center field around 8 miles per hour. So decent hitting conditions tonight. But again, Hunter Green, do you trust the guy coming back off? Is that groin, you know, fully rehabilitated? Which means that maybe you weren't going all out in your rehab starts or getting back to Major League Baseball. I usually tend to shy away from those type of situations, even though the expectations are he's healthy, he should pitch fine. Take a look at Matthew Boyd over the past 29 innings over the last month at 3.72 ERA and a 3.22 xFIP number, which really checks out well. Now, over those last 30 days, 95 batters, he really does well against lefties, which he's only faced 24 of those. He's handled those, but the right-handed batters have gotten to him. However, though, it's one of those things where left-handed pitchers are quirky. Outside of very select teams here, most teams don't handle them all that well. Espinal's got a high weighted on base percentage, Austin Hayes and Tyler Stevenson, but everybody else, limited at bats and not a lot of success, and that includes Ellie De La Cruz. He has had 33 at-bats, and he's not even a lefty. He's a switch hitter, so batting from the right-hand side, an 0.32 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 2.42 and a K rate of close to 25%. If we look again at that Cubs lineup, it does present itself much better, but again, what are we getting out of Hunter Green in this game to try to focus? I can see where it's roughly a pick 'em. That does make some sense, and where the 8.5 is to me. Too many questions, too many variables here to me give an honest answer about this game tonight with the Cincinnati Reds.
I get it, DRS. We'll see what Hunter Green has. You hope that he is healthy for my Cincinnati Reds, who I need to get to 80 wins this year. Right now, the Reds are 25-26, a game below 500 against Chicago. The best record in this division, 30-20. Skeens Day number 34 in the history of Major League Baseball in start number 11 this year for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Don't worry, Buccos fans. Skeens isn't going anywhere just yet. Pittsburgh at home in the Steel City, a slight home favorite at -124, which is often only the case, DRS, when Skeens is on the bump. Really hasn't meant much. 10 outings for Paul Skeens this year. Pittsburgh as a team overall in those games, 3-7, including four consecutive losses when Skeens makes a start. Well, is he not as good as we expect? No, he's got a 2.44 ERA this season. How do you break down the matchup today inside PNC Park?
Wait Skeens out. I mean, that's what most Major League Baseball teams do. Like, hey, Pittsburgh will get a run. Okay, well, maybe score a run against Skeens. And once you get to the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning, attack that bullpen here because the lineup isn't great for the Milwaukee Brewers. You take a look at Terang, Contreras, and Hoskins. Above average weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching over the past month, which again, is 3 out of your 9 batters. And Skeens is an above average pitcher, not just your run-of-the-mill right-handed pitcher. He should have a lot of success. 53-degree temperatures today in Pittsburgh. There is a 9-mile-an-hour wind blowing out, but again, that's a true pitcher's ballpark, and with cooler temperatures, I don't know how much that ball is going to travel. Now, here's where Freddie Peralta's like, thank goodness I get to start against Pittsburgh, because that should be a walk in the park. His last 113 batters he's faced, how about a 101 ISO power number against and a 265 weighted on base percentage? He's been really good. And outside of like O'Neill Cruz, everybody stinks in that lineup for Pittsburgh. So for me, if you're betting Paul Skeens, I don't even know if you go with a K prop at this point. It's almost like unbettable. Like, hey, bet him to win the game. Good luck with that. Hey, bet him to get a lot of strikeouts. Well, it's cooler temperatures. Pitchers don't like that necessarily. And how long is he going to actually be out there? So for me, it probably trends more to an under. And that's just because the Pittsburgh Pirates lineup absolutely stinks.
The Buccos finally scored 5 runs yesterday for the first time in their last 27 games. And still lost 8-5 at home against the Brew Crew. The New York Yankees swept the Rangers inside Yankee Stadium this week. They now head out to Colorado to take on the worst team in MLB history through 50 games. The Rockies are 8-42. We would expect, DRS, the Yankees have a fun weekend out there in Denver. Look at that price.
Yeah, exactly. And it's Tanner Gordon on the mound. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, Captain America out here going up against a lineup that smashes right-handed pitching. Let me see the temperatures out here. 80 degrees, light wind blowing in. Hey, by the way, Phillies yesterday, 7.5 team total. Didn't get anywhere near that and still won. That shows you up at Colorado with it.
Aaron Judge's first game at Coors Field. +138 for a home.
Wow.
More next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid to end out our week, to end out this Friday show. The coach, J.Y. James Young, will be here for the remainder of the Early Line on this Friday to recap game number two of the Western Conference Finals. How quickly could it be over if Oklahoma City continues to dominate the way they have over Minnesota so far? Of course, we'll talk game number two of the Eastern Conference Finals on this Friday night inside Madison Square Garden. How will J.Y.'s Knicks perform after that devastating loss in game number one, and an early look at the odds in this WNBA season, now about to be into its second week. JY, for all of that, we say thank you as always for being here.
What are you talking about game one of the Knicks series? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Five.
I have no idea.
Five.
We do have B-roll, and I have been told by our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friesen, to make sure that our next segment – it should, honestly, if there was ever a time to have black and white B-roll in memoriam, it would be for the Knicks 17-point fourth quarter advantage. I have been told that we need to ask your thoughts on that game, JY, but not until our next segment, if that makes it easier, so at least you can get ready for those hardball questions. Let's start in the Western Conference Finals in Game 2 last night in Oklahoma City. JY, we talked about how crucial it would be for Minnesota not just to attempt to take a game on the road against the Thunder in OKC, but at least prove this series could be competitive to stay within the margin last night. They did not. OKC takes a commanding 2-0 series advantage in the Western Conference Finals with a commanding 15-point win in game number two. I don't think anybody, JY, is surprised the Thunder have a 2-0 series lead with home floor advantage, and you certainly are not. You thought the Thunder could make quick work of the Timberwolves here in the Western Conference Finals. How has OKC done that so far through two games?
It's honestly, they lean on their defense until their offense just decides to show up and take over the game. You know, we looked at it, you know, kind of the same spot last night. It was the third quarter, 35-21. Julius Randle, who to this point had been at times the most consistent player for the Minnesota Timberwolves, goes 1-for-6, 2 turnovers in the third quarter. And the team shoots a combined 6-for-20, 6 made shots, 5 turnovers, and then it gave up 56.5% from the floor in the third. It's simple. Oklahoma City is like a old school, like I'm gonna go old school boxing. Hey, Donnie, like this, they're like Larry Holmes. Yeah. They just jab you and jab you and Easton. Jab you. And at some point, you know what I'm saying, the Easton Assassin.
Yep.
And then at
for sure,
you don't have you don't. We all know that. Maybe not Friesen. Yeah. We all, you know, you just jab them. And then at some point, Ben, the dam is going to break. And the dam broke in the third quarter. And when the dam breaks, they have too many guys that can score. You don't have enough. They get you that lead, and the game's over. Sometimes in the fourth quarter, sometimes it's in the third quarter. Game 7 against Denver was the last 2 minutes of the second quarter. There's always going to be a point where that jab starts to really wear on you. It happened in the third, and they put him away.
Yeah, hey, take a look at now at the series prices. And again, we expectations were Oklahoma City was favored in the first two games. They're supposed to win on their home court as the number one seed. Now we shift back to Minnesota, but we're not getting a lot of help here at the FanDuel Sportsbook if you think that the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to come back. How about a -3,000 price as a favorite for OKC? The Timberwolves at a 13-1 coach down in the series 0-2. What can Minnesota do to get back into the series? And is it worth a price point of 13-1 to say, I think they can win at least one of these games on their home court to get back to OKC?
I mean, the only thing you can think about is maybe trying to take them +2.5 and hope that, like, they get it to 2-2 and they lose it 4-2. That's the only thing you have. But Oklahoma City is just too good of a road team. And here's the thing, Donnie. Like, Game one, Randle, fantastic. Ant, meh. Game two, Ant, fantastic. Julius, not good. Like, the only chance, the only chance you're going to win with that team is if Julius Randle and Ant Edwards gives you somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 combined points. That means they both have to play really well, and then you get enough from McDaniels, Gobert, who has been terrible, Naz Reid, Alexander Walker, you know, so on and so forth, Mike Conley, right? And then you hope that your defense keeps it there. But I just look at the number of guys that Oklahoma City could throw at Ant, that could throw at Julius Randle. They could just run guys out there and literally wear you out. I don't see a pathway. Maybe to get one between three and four, I'd be stunned if this goes back to OKC 2-2.
So, JY, let's make it official. That's what Minnesota could potentially try to do. It's a different matter of execution. How long do you think the Western Conference Finals has? How many games are we going to see here in this series?
Well, before the series started, I told you it was going to be OKC in five. I'm sticking with five. Maybe they find a way to steal one of these games. More likely to be a game three than a game four. But I don't think this goes more than five games. I think this is over. And listen, could it be a sweep? Absolutely, but I'm going to give Minnesota that they're going to find a way to get one of these two at home and steal one of them.
By the way, JY, taking a look, too, because we had this conversation to start the show, Ben, and some wild movement here. Like, SGA,
wild.
Was it minus 1,000 to be the Western Conference Finals MVP? It's minus 1,900 now. Like, we were talking about JY saying the exact, like, minus 22 or minus 3,000 was the series price here to win it. And it was, like, only minus 1,000 for SGA to win that award. Now it's up to minus 1,900, which does seem like that could be value. But is there anybody else? Like, would you take an Anthony Edwards if they can come back in an 18-1? Julius Randle 46-1, or even somebody else on the roster for OKC? Because we know the MVP of the regular season was SGA. Is it a foregone conclusion? It's being bet like that, that he has automatically wrapped up this award for the Western Conference Finals.
I mean, listen, you could obviously look at the fact that, you know, Jalen Williams was markedly better than game one, going 12 of 20 for the floor with 26 points. But no, it's SGA. And I'm not going to take – I mean, listen, if someone from that wants to think that Minnesota's going to make a comeback and you want to gladly donate to the to the Juliana and Maddie Young College Fund by donating money to me for a Western Conference MVP, please hit me up on Twitter at Coach Young NJ. I will gladly take your money from you and take that off your hands. They're not coming back. No way.
JY, you got to give him a better price. If Anthony Edwards is 18 to 1 right now to win the Western Conference Finals MVP on FanDuel, JY will even give you a discount. He'll make it plus 25 to 1 to make it a more enticing
price.
Plus 250 to 1, even if you will. Code JY. I do like that. All right, JY, there's no doubt about it, right? If Minnesota is even going to extend this series to a fifth game, how critically important game number three, our first change of location in this set, is tomorrow night on a Saturday evening in Minneapolis. A 3-point spread now in favor of Oklahoma City on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total at 218. Oklahoma City remains a favorite, JY, but it's the shortest number the Thunder have laid in any of their now about to be 14 playoff games. What is task number one for Minnesota to win outright tomorrow night and take game number three?
Play with the lead. They got to play with the lead. They have to play their best quarter of basketball these playoffs. And you may need like Ant-Man game four Lakers in the first half. In the second half, you need that now. You need to jump them early and maybe give a Mark Dagnall, we're going to punt game. Because you also got to get your home crowd involved, especially with the fact that you know in the second half, at some point, OKC's got to and will make a run. You must come out fast. You must come out strong. And then the most critical part of the game, even if you have the lead, Ben, is the first 4 minutes of the second half. You must come out of the locker room strong. You must come out and at least keep the lead or extend it, because you know right then and there, Mark Dagnall's team after break is going to come with their best punch to try and get back in the game if they're down.
Yeah, no doubt about it, JY. And OKC has been dominant in the third quarters and really in the second halves of the first two games of the Western Conference Finals. All right. It was about 10 minutes of a grace period. We got to talk about Just let the Knick City dancer take it to the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Live right here on this Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid, ahead of game number two tonight. Let's inside go. Madison Square Garden in the Eastern Conference Finals. The coach, J.Y. James Young, is here. Of course, J.Y. will dive into game number two, what the Knicks have to do to show that resilience after the disaster that was the fourth quarter in the final 6 minutes of regulation against the Indiana Pacers in game number one. Donnie, to your request, we do have some B-roll in black and white.
The angel.
That's not four times Halliburton, by the way. That's for the 17-point lead that he
choked
over 6 points. Tyrese did not actually choke. Tyrese was just doing the choking sign. He is doing quite well entering game number two. So ahead of game number two tonight, JY, of course, we go back quickly into game number one. It was almost such a historic comeback. You're watching it play out, but you don't believe it's real. You don't believe what you're seeing in Aaron Nesmith going nuclear and Tyrese Halliburton with a shot off the heel high up into the MSG sky and coming back down inside the cylinder. You almost don't believe what you are seeing with your very eyes. What went wrong for New York? What was Indiana able to muster up to pull off that historic comeback in NBA playoff history?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it reminds me of the Reggie Miller 25 points in the fourth quarter of Game 5 in the 94 Eastern Conference Finals, when the last time an Indiana Pacer did the choke sign. I'm sure Reggie Miller, who did the game on TNT, was thoroughly enjoying it. You could tell by him and Van Gundy, they love the fact to see the Knicks choke. But when you look at it, Ben, there's a couple things. Number one, you got to make shots, right? And Aaron Nesmith got absolutely nuclear. I don't think I've seen it in the Garden since that Reggie Miller Game 5. And every three got bigger and bigger. And what you saw with Nesmith was just the ability to get a shot off. Now, for the Knicks part, they did everything. And when I mean everything wrong, they did everything wrong. Number one, you get the lead in the fourth quarter with who? Jalen Brunson on the bench with five fouls. Deuce McBride, Mitchell Robinson, who I think will have a bigger role, Deuce as well, in this series. But you saw them collapse in regards to Brunson just pounding the ball into the pavement. Two, there was, you know, people keep looking at Brunson. I want to put the hot spot on OG Anunoby really quick. There were two occasions that there were screens set, and OG Anunoby, who never plays drop coverage guarding a ball screen, was in drop coverage, and Nesmith got two threes off, where if you're New York, you get him off the three-point line and you get him to the basket. At least you're trading, Ben, two for twos instead of two for threes, right? Then there was the most egregious play that no one wants to talk about, is Knicks up five, they break the press, and Jalen Brunson, who could circle the dribble out and get to the foul line and get fouled, probably burn another 3, 4, 5 seconds off the clock, getting it inside of 30 seconds, decides to go for the layup. Gets it to OG, I don't care about the foul, no foul, catch the damn ball, we don't have to worry about it. So there's all of that. But then it takes in a miraculous shot by Halliburton, which he could practice that shot 5,000 times. Anybody knows basketball knows that you don't hit that ball there, hit it that high off the rim, and it dropped down like that. It happens once in a lifetime. Well, that was his once that he got. So for the Knicks, you got to move on. And just like me as a fan, you have to move on, and you have to be confident that they're going to play better tonight. I think Tibbs has got to get away from the Julius Randle ball that we saw in the Atlanta Sievers years ago, which is just give it to your best player and say, bail me out. They have to do a much better job of sharing, getting everybody the ball, and most importantly, defending the three-point line.
Yeah, Coach, like the optics of the game were like such a downfall and a collapse for the New York Knicks. Like, oh, my goodness. But we forget about how well the Knicks played for 95% of that basketball game and should have closed the door and have a 1-0 series price, which they don't. And if we are looking at the series betting right now, the Pacers, no surprise, are the favorite at a minus 154 price currently right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Knicks, a plus 130 price, which then leads us right back into the game tonight. We saw game number one, Coach, fours, four and a halfs were out there. That's now extended to a six-point favorite for the Knicks in a total of 224 and a half. The way I've been telling Ben that I want to approach this game tonight is I need energy, I need the Garden, and I need the players. I love the Knicks minus 3.5 to be up at the break here to at least say, you know what? We're going to use the first quarter. We're going to play defense. We're going to use the second quarter. We're going to extend that lead into the second half. I love the Knicks first half. How are you playing this game tonight with the Knicks as a 6-point favorite?
I think you say it perfectly, because I also think in the first half you probably could see more of Deuce McBride and Mitchell Robinson, which kind of anchors your defense and makes your defense better. I don't expect Aaron Naismith to come out where he did last game in the fourth quarter and do that again in the beginning. They will make sure of that. So I think the Knicks in the first half is a better play. And then I look at the game at halftime. And if the Knicks are close or even down, I'll just jump on the Knicks as a money line favorite to go ahead and win the game, because I think they're going to find a way to level us up at 1-1. You pull up those odds, the Knicks plus 1.5 games, to me still looks like a really good bet, because I said 7 going in, and the Knicks, who have won 5 out of their 6 road games in the playoffs, I expect them to get 1 out of 2 at Indiana. So to me, it's 2-2 heading back to the Garden for a big game 5. So Knicks plus 1.5 and minus 132 is what I would look at as a series spread. I said 7 games. There's 7 games with some plus money to it.
There's no doubt about it, right? Just because the Pacers pulled off that historic comeback, it was still a tightly contested game decided by 3 in OT. We still expect this to be a tightly contested series. And the Knicks now the underdog, despite being a 6-point home favorite for game 2 tonight on their home floor here in the Eastern Conference Finals. JY, if you had to highlight a player who you expect to perform in a big way in this Friday evening inside the Mecca, who would that player be?
The guy said it was a major goat who has to show up tonight, and that's OG Anunoby, who sometimes does not play well against Pascal Siakam. I went to it early before the game. Look at his stocks. Steals plus blocks, because OG's active defensively. He'll get on the passing lane. He's good enough to get a block or two, and he gets a steal. It's probably about 2.5 for stocks. Look for him to go over tonight, OG Anunoby.
He did have 6 combined stocks in game number 1, only 16 points for OG, 6 of 15 from the floor, 2 of 8 from 3. The Knicks wings, really that is their depth. They have been fantastic so far throughout the postseason. They'll need it tonight. 78 combined points, by the way, from Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns in game 1. That's glass half full for New York. DRS, have a lovely weekend. Enjoy the money line. JY and I continue next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The second weekend of this WNBA regular season is about to be here and coming our way over this holiday weekend throughout Memorial Day. And JY, of course, much of the story, sadly, despite how great the product has been early on of this WNBA season, has been commentary on commentary on commentary on the actual game of basketball. We'll leave that to the side for right now and focus on the actual sport here on the early line to end out this week. Let's talk some of the action and the results so far. The New York Liberty, the reigning WNBA champs, have looked very dominant in their opening two games of this season. Double-digit win last Saturday afternoon in Barclays against the Las Vegas Aces. More than a 20-point victory last night on the road in Chicago against the Sky. So the Liberty, the reigning champs, who entered this year as the title favorites, off to a perfect 2-0 start. What have the Liberty shown you so far, JY, here in 2025?
That they may have made the most smart, shrewd signing in the WNBA offseason, and that's Natasha Cloud. Natasha Cloud, that is was a thorn in the Liberty side when she played for the Washington Mystics, is someone that allows, with Benaja Laney Hamilton out, it allows them to bring in another rugged guard, but also a really good sneaky distributor of the ball. So now Leona Fibich can go into the front court of the play with Stewie and Jonquel Jones, and it sets themselves up nicely, but also getting Maureen Yohannes back from France to play with Naira Sabali off the bench, and Burke gives the Liberty a solid 8-woman rotation that's playing really good basketball, and it sets up, Ben, a huge ratings game set up for tomorrow, 1 p.m., CBS, Liberty versus the Fever in Indiana. I'm sure there'll be a lot of eyes watching that matchup as the best team in the W goes against, let's be honest, the most important player in the league.
The Fever, a 2.5-point home underdog tomorrow in that game in Indianapolis against New York. New York, Indiana, a couple of big basketball games throughout this week. Yeah, you mentioned Caitlin Clark, JY, as we look at her number to win WNBA MVP. Now in minus money. Now, I love CeCe as much as the next person, and she did deliver a triple-double in her first game of the year against Chicago, the third of her WNBA career. Their third in her 41st career regular season game. Nobody had ever done that in WNBA history. She had a 27-point, 11-dime performance in her second game, albeit in a loss for the Fever, against the much-improved Atlanta Dream Team, and a victory last night for Indiana on the road in the A. But it wasn't the greatest night for Clark so far in her WNBA career. Her first game, collegiately or in the W, without a made three since 2022, she was 0-5 from deep last night. JY, are you surprised / is it warranted for Caitlin Clark to already be a slight minus money favorite to win WNBA MVP?
It's not warranted, but I'm not surprised. Why? Because you have general people running to the window with the biggest player in the sport. It doesn't matter what she can do. She's going to have the most eyeballs on it. But if you pull up those odds, I mean, it's shocking that a player like Nafisha Collier, who could be on the best team, if not New York, is at plus 230. Asia Wilson, who I think personally is the best player in the world, at 4-1. And Breanna Stewart, who's gotten off to a pretty good start, is at 45-1. The problem with Stewie is between Stewie, Inescu, Jones, and not Cloud, they're just going to all cancel each other out because either one can go off to a great start. The sneaky pick are two players Kelsey Plum, who's going to have the shot volume with the LA Sparks. And if you can find her, Satu Sabli. But here's the thing. You got to get your team to the top four of the WNBA for me to be considered to be MVP candidate. So if you're looking for major plus money, Plum, Sabli could be two players you can look at if their teams can make a charge into the top four by the end of the year.
Sabli now on the Phoenix Mercury, along with Alyssa Thomas. Phoenix off to a perfect 2-0 start. You mentioned Nafisa Collier, who is averaging better than 28 points per game and six boards, and her Minnesota Lynx, who were the runner-up last year in the WNBA Finals, to the New York Liberty, off to a perfect 3-0 start. Best record so far, three games, three wins in the WNBA. This is not a shot at Caitlin Clark, who should be a front runner for the award, but already minus money is a slightly interesting odds perspective on the WNBA MVP hardware. Big moment for Indiana tomorrow in their fourth game of the year. They are a WNBA title contender. They can make a statement against the reigning champs in the Liberty. JY? The fadeaway to the holiday weekend, shall we? Everybody have a great
more shots
Memorial Day weekend.
Reese.
That's an ugly way to go out.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.